Coming to you from semi-scenic Loma Linda, California, it's Reviews and Perspectives with Dr. Hobart Lee.
Okay, Heidi, good to see you. How you doing?
I am doing swell, Hobie. I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here and excited to be chatting with you.
Okay, so I have a question for you. What was your favorite subject in school growing up?
You know, I really like school, period. But if I had to pick a favorite topic, I'd definitely say history.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What is it about history that you loved?
I'm nosy. I think that's why I went into family medicine. I'm nosy. Like, history is like you get to go see how all these people lived their lives. And medicine, you get to see how people are living their lives. It's pretty exciting. How about you? What's your favorite subject?
Well, not too original, but I loved math. I was a very nerdy kid, and so I loved math and science growing up. And in honor of that, I think we're going to talk about statistics today.
Fantastic.
So we're going to keep the math simple, but we are going to review a topic that I think is important for primary care docs to understand, to explain to patients, and to know some of the rough numbers for some of the common interventions we prescribe to patients.
Ooh, this sounds like it can be incredibly helpful because our patients like to know how information applies to them. So which stat are we talking about?
Yeah, we're going to talk about the wonderful number needed to treat, or NNT.
Yes, that rolls off the tongue so well. And I'm glad we're talking about this in detail because Steve and Ken often touch on it when they like review their PCMA papers. So it'd be really great to explain it in a bit more detail. Just as a review, there are a bunch of stats that help us describe how big a treatment effect is. And NNT is one of those, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So the others would be statistics like relative risk, absolute risk, and odds ratio. And each of these has their own strength and weaknesses as a stat. But today we really want to focus in on NNT. So Heidi, do you remember how to calculate NNT?
Oh, of course, she says with her fingers crossed as the kids do when they're lying and they just don't want you to know. Yes, I do actually remember this one. It's 1 divided by the absolute risk reduction. So 1 over ARR. And if the absolute risk reduction was 0.5, then the NNT would be 1 divided by 0.5 or 2.
Yeah, perfect. So we would say in this intervention, right, you would need to treat 2 patients for 1 patient to benefit, right? And that's what we like about this statistic is it's really easy to understand. An absolute risk reduction of 0.5 seems a little abstract, but stating it that you need to treat 2 patients for 1 to benefit is more consistent with our actual work as a primary care doctor.
Okay, I know we're going to talk about what some common NNTs for therapies are in a little bit, but can we first review what some limitations are to using the NNT?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love NNT, but it's not perfect, right? And I think that one of the biggest limitations of this statistic is that it's dependent on the baseline control rate. So when a baseline event rate, or what happens in natural life if no treatment or intervention is high, then the NNT will be low. This can be particularly tricky if you are calculating NNT in a small trial where random expected variability can make the baseline control rate high.
Okay. But that, if I'm not mistaken, can also be to our advantage, right? Since most diseases and outcomes are rare, the control rate will naturally be low, so the NNT should be high, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So other stats, like a relative risk per se, for example, might look impressive, but that's because the outcome's rare. And we would actually have to treat a lot of patients in order to achieve the desired reduction in outcome.
Yes, perfect, right? Yeah. And so I know we're getting into the weeds here, but we're trying to set this up so everyone can follow along. And one more thing to mention is that you'll often hear number needed to harm, or NNH, which is like the evil twin of the NNT, right? It's commonly used to describe events like side effects or adverse outcomes from an intervention like a new drug.
You know, anytime we talk about NNT or NNH, I feel like we need a Marvel movie featuring these demigods or whatever they are. Oh, man. So, okay, let's take a breath, though. I think a certain percentage of our listeners are geeking out like you are. Like I can see you on the screen here and you are living your best life right now.
Absolutely.
Because we're talking about stats.
That's right.
You've pulled your calculator out of your pocket protector, as I'm sure many listeners have. Then there are some that I might relate to a little bit more, to be honest, who are getting a little bit dizzy trying to keep the math straight while listening here. So if you're thinking, I really need to review this stat stuff in more detail, or if you have boards or research coming up, we actually did a whole section on EBM, including NNT in our Crunch Time Family Medicine board review. So I'd encourage you to go listen to that and listen to it again and listen to it again. Check it out. There's everything you need to know about NNT and other EBM stuff there.
Okay, good plug. I think the main takeaway is that NNT helps us explain that not all patients are helped by an intervention. Some benefit, but most do not. And I think that's a concept that most patients do not understand. They think, my doc gave me this medicine, so I will benefit.
Yeah, and truthfully, I think a lot of us physicians think that as well. Like if there's a study or an expert tells me this medication works, it's going to work. But more accurately, we should say that in a group of patients with a particular condition, this intervention will help some, not all, some. And since we can't figure out exactly who it will help, the best we can do is to treat all of the patients with it, knowing that some will benefit, some will not, and that some, unfortunately, might even be harmed by side effects. The good old NNH. Ha ha ha.
We meet again.
So, yeah, and I'll be honest, I'm not always taking the time to explain this idea of NNT to patients, right? I'm much more likely to give them a medicine and say, this is the first line therapy for this condition, which is technically a true statement, but it doesn't take into account the idea of NNT.
Okay, now that we've talked about the theory and the math, let's go over some common NNTs. And the data for these numbers are from the website that many of us know and love, the NNT.com. And the site has summarized a lot of studies and has reliable information.
Okay, so let's take hypertension, a very common condition, right? What do you think the NNT is to prevent one death over 5 years in patients who take antihypertensives?
I want it to be 2.
Yeah, it's a little bit north of 2.
A little bit north of 2, actually. Yeah, you gave me the number. It's 125, Hobart Lee.
Yes.
The NNT is 125. That's mind-blowing. That means we have to treat 125 hypertensive patients with antihypertensive for 5 years to prevent one death. That's a lot of meds. And that is far higher than I would have guessed. I mean, I guess when you look at this, the caveat could be that 5 years might actually be a little bit too short a time to feel the effect of longstanding hypertension, because we're really playing the long game with hypertension here. If you look at other NNTs related to hypertension and 5 years of treatment, for stroke, it's 67, and for non-fatal and fatal MI, it's 100. So a little bit better, but still far higher than I would have liked to see them.
Yeah, right. And I think the trick here is, I think if you told patients you have a 1 in 125 chance of benefiting from this drug and not dying if you take it for 5 years, some patients might say, those odds seem kind of lousy, right?
Yeah.
Even though we would say that a lot of our interventions kind of fall in this category, right?
Wow.
So let's take something a little less serious. How about corticosteroids for a sore throat?
Okay, we can talk about that as long as we use the caveat that sore throat is not actually a medical diagnosis, but it can it can include stuff like group A strep and an awful lot of viral pharyngitis too. But the NNT here was 5, so that's an NNT to reduce pain at 24 or 48 hours.
So yeah, I agree with you. There's a lot of heterogeneity in the type and dosing of corticosteroid. And so many of these patients also got antibiotics on top of their steroids. But you can see that NNT was much better, right, to reduce pain at 24, 48 hours compared to something like treating hypertension, which we would all say is very, very important to do for our patients.
Yeah. Okay, now my turn to quiz you. This is one that you and I love to talk about off camera, statins. Yes. Statins in low-risk primary prevention. What's the NNT there?
Yeah, so the NNT to prevent one non-fatal heart attack is 217. And the NNT to prevent one non-fatal stroke is 313.
Good heavens.
NNH, or the number needed to harm, is 21 for myalgia and 204 for a new onset diabetes related to taking statins. So I think if you were to present this data to a patient, I think some patients might say, forget the statin, right? I'm going to focus on changing my diet and exercises and other interventions because, again, for a low-risk primary prevention patient, statin may not be the best option for every single patient.
Yeah, I mean, you can get your myalgias from exercising, but...
That's right. If you're desperate for myalgia, there are other ways to get that. And there are other ways to get new-onset diabetes besides taking a statin.
Right? I'd be like, maybe I'll eat more chocolate bars and exercise a bit more. So
that's right. Would you rather eat potato chips or take a statin to get your diabetes? Which one would you like?
Are those my only two options?
I think you and I are pretty firmly in the very selective use of statins in primary prevention for low-risk people. And I think these numbers just keep our opinions where they are.
Yeah. And let's be clear. We're emphasizing these are low-risk primary prevention patients, right? So if it's a secondary prevention, somebody's already had demonstrated cardiovascular disease, somebody's at very high risk because of other comorbidities they have, obviously that changes those treatment numbers quite a bit, right?
Yeah.
But I would say a lot of our patients, at least I'd say personally, a lot of my patients in my primary care clinic, they're low-risk primary prevention patients, right? I mean, they fall in that category, and it's incorrect to attribute the same numbers for high-risk patients to low-risk patients.
Yeah, it sure is. Okay, Hobie, time for the last one, and this is a common cancer screening test. Okay, we're going to talk about PSA for prostate cancer. Because we can use the number needed, the NNT, when we're thinking about screening tests, especially cancer screening tests. So what number do we need to screen to prevent one prostate cancer-related death?
Yeah, so for men 55 to 69, you need to screen 770 men to prevent one prostate cancer-related death. There are some negative outcomes from screening, however, as patients who chose either surgery or radiation for biopsy-proven prostate cancer, they can experience erectile dysfunction or urinary incontinence as a result from that treatment. So I think framing cancer screening using number needed is one way to explain that screening is beneficial at a population level, but at any given patient may not benefit from screening, particularly when issues like overdiagnosis or adverse outcomes from testing or testing treatment are taken into consideration.
So NNT is really a versatile statistic that can be applied to both screening and to therapeutic modalities.
I think so. And I think it's the more comfortable we as primary care physicians feel about looking at that number, calculating that number, thinking about that number, I think that gives us added strategies in terms of how to talk to our patients about whether any given treatment or screening test might be appropriate for them to consider.
So if you would like to get your calculator out of your pocket protector, the calculation is 1 over absolute risk reduction. If you, like me, would prefer to have somebody else do that work, the NNT.com is a great source of common NNTs for conditions we often see people concerning. This is a good one, Hobie. Thank you so much. I am motivated now to contact you anytime I need some stats done.
That's fine. I'm happy to refer you to the website.
Perfect.